Good evening, everybody. This is Christopher Buck.
I am Liane Leger.
With Humanity Healing, and this is our teleconference this evening to talk about the second of the Stellar Code Mastery Program. This is the beginning, the first night of the window of opportunity for the Spica Attunement Initiation.
Well, as we already talked before, we are going to, I would say, journey towards all the zodiac and do a visitation to each one of the constellations and activate some of those, what you call stellar energies. They are basically the subsidiary and it's a substract energy that will help you in your path of spirituality, healing, transcendence, and to broad up your understanding of what your life purpose is and accomplishments that you came here to perform.
Now, one of the things to point out is that while we will be visiting the signs of the zodiac, or they will are part of what we're doing, what we're actually going is dealing with the stars themselves. The constellations sort of came later. As a matter of fact, the current system of astrology working through the 12 signs of the zodiac wasn't developed until after Alexander's army captured what became Alexandria, or captured Egypt, and brought it into the fold, and they at that point in time started to combine the traditional Egyptian astrology with the Babylonian astrology, and at that point in time they started developing the what they call the zodiacal astrology. We're dealing with a little bit more of what's called esoteric astrology and into the meanings and how they relate to one's personal growth and how one's soul journey.
In the journey of enrichment and the journey back home. Like Carl Sagan always said, you know, we are all star stuff. You know, we are all stardust, star stuff. So it wouldn't be far-fetched when we go back and we reevaluate the ancient civilization that looked towards the stars in order to regulate harvest cycles, initiation cycles, festivals, in even moments of purification and study and enlightenment, because each one of those periods regulated by the different calendars, there's one element in common. Which element is this? Is the presence of certain stars in certain moments. And in this moment right now, under the auspices of the constellation, a Virgo constellation, and the biggest alpha star constellation of Virgo is the star Spica. Spica means basically corn ear, the corn. The constellation of Virgo, it's a lady or a vestal,
A Vestal Virgin. It's a very large constellation, and to be honest, it's a difficult constellation to map out. There's Spica is the brightest star of the constellation. Many of the stars are dim, and the way that people track down and identify how to find Virgo is basically from other stars. I won't say anachronism. That's not the correct term, but the way to find it is you go to the handle of the Big Dipper, and you arc from there over to Arcturus, and then, you know, speed on to Spica. And from Spica, which is essentially the ear of corn, or in some cultures, the virgin spike, you can construct out to capture Virgo.
The Virgo. And the interesting thing about this, you know, there's a lot of very interesting things and very, I would say, mysterious facts along this that goes with the story, the ancient stories of this constellation. First of all, is the first constellation that you have in the entire zodiac that has one single woman. It's it's you know, most of the constellations, except from Aquarius, that actually sometimes is just, you know, pictured as a vase of water. You know, sometimes you have a male figure, a young male figure, verting the water. But, you know, and the Gemini, that's the only other constellation that has, you know, a woman,
right? Specifically
a virgin, a woman, the image of the feminine. So this really already results and put it out, the exquisite elements of this constellation. The other interesting thing, in certain cultures, especially the Greeks and the Egyptians, they had the mythical creature, which was the Sphinx, which is basically a creature that had four different animals on it, and which coincides a lot with the vision of Ezekiel.
By the way,
when he sees, you know, God coming down and the creature with four faces, a face of an angel, a face of a lion, a face of an eagle, and that, you know, that mystical thing that he saw. You have all those elements on the, you know, Sphinx that was coming from Egypt and also from Greece. What they say about the Sphinx is that the reason they have four elements is to say that actually those are the most important signs of initiation on the process of human development. So you pass through the lion gate, you pass through the virgin's point of view, you conquer the eagle, and you really gather your kingdom on Taurus, which is the last animal. But some say that the reason the Greeks reported a little bit of difference between how the Egyptians reported the existence of the Sphinx, but putting on the Sphinx the face of a woman, was basically to say that for the Greeks, the real calendar started on the sign of Virgo, not in Aries. You know, it was just an allegory to explain how important the sign of the Virgo is for the improvement and for the enrichment of the human journey on Earth. So one of the biggest lessons and the biggest energy that comes with the attunement of the Stika Stellar Code is basically the opening, the rebalancing, and the realchemization of the energy of Divine Feminine, and you're going to see in another part here, with the Divine Masculine, because, by the way, it does exist. It's not only the Divine Feminine that exists, the Divine Masculine also exists. And we don't talk much about the Divine Masculine because we think that we live in a society that's basically a masculine society that repress women, and there's nothing divine to be, you know, about the masculine side of life. But actually there is. The masculine, I will just make a little observation here, and we can discuss this in deeper concept if somebody wants to add to this point of view. The Divine Masculine has very interesting characteristics. While the Divine Feminine is nurturing, is, you know, a safe ground, it's always a place to restart, restructure. The Divine Masculine, and that's what is important is in any family, the presence of those two elements, is because the Divine Masculine gives you the action, but action with compassion. The compassion, the open heart to do things, and the generosity. Those are masculine characteristics, not necessarily feminine. We tend to just put it, all this, on the feminine side, but actually it's not. You know, it's a masculine side. And how do we see that? On this Stellar Code specifically, we will be working with three stars, even though our basic, our basic intention is to access the divine feminine, you know, the immemorial, undying, ancient concept, and the eternal energy of Shekinah through Spica star code in our aura and in our process of evolving. But it's important to understand that this is only can be done, as always, in every single pattern of initiation, on every single pattern of knowledge, and with three elements. It's almost like the same when you have the twin flames. You know, the reunion of a twin flame demands three elements, the two parts plus the divinity, God, or the Holy Spirit that unite this. So we're going to have the initiation on Spica, having Spica as the symbol, and I would say the lens of the Divine Feminine. We will work with the Lord and the energy of Arcturus, which is the prototype for us of the Divine Feminine or Divine Masculine. And we're going to amplify this through the energy of Leo, which is exactly what the opposite that we perceive a Leo person. It's not through the ego lens of me, but actually the other side, which is the service to others, open through the ego, the expanding the ego to other dimension of itself, merging this with your higher self. So it's very important to understand that. And just to you know, let you all know, Arcturus is very very unique and mystic for those that knows all the messages that are channeled and have been put out there about the Arcturians. They know how much we don't really concentrate this when we talk about stellar codes, but most people, it's common knowledge on the spiritual community that the Arcturians detain the most high-tech and amazing technology of ascension evolution, and they are very much selfless beings and completely self-realized, and they really are here to assist on the process of ascension and transformation and bringing back Earth for through the gateways to the stellar gates to her original blueprint. So it's very important for us to tell you this. It's a very interesting and it's a very powerful element to be, you know, to receive and to participate on this new, I would say, reunion of energy of the divine and heavenly chalice of the Spica energy alchemizing with Arcturus energy and amplified by the action of Regulus and the constellation of Leo. Now, one thing I think we should resolve this here is it's again about Arcturus. Arcturus is a star in our stellar code, and we'll be soon be doing just an initiation on Arcturus. Is a star that for us represents the first flame of the trine flame, the flame of the light warrior. And the light warrior, there are many types of warriors, but we decided we chose to use only the prototype or the archetype of the warrior from Arcturus. Why do you know? So you may ask, why didn't you? You know, why Arcturus? Well, you could have shows, and we could have shows.
But it's like why Arcturus versus why Orion?
Orion, yeah. The fact that we chose Arcturus because Orion represents actually a ruthless warrior. He is there to conquer, even by force. And Arcturus is a warrior, it's a light warrior, but at the same time is the protector. It's the one that goes to battle to protect something. It's something that's there to stand as a column in a temple. So this is our, you know, the next Telecode, we'll be personifying the light worker, which is the speaker. The next one is the building of the flame of the light weaver. So when we finish those three first initiations, we will have done the first three of the light code.
Yes, it's we have the light maker, we've got the light weaver, and we've got the light warrior. And so we're working with those three, but those three flames, those three chords, as you will, are what makes a true light worker. Because really each facet of those is important for the development of our whole being as spiritual creatures.
Exactly. So this is basically what we wanted to say about how the stellar code will work. So it's actually aggregation and the attunement based on the best, I would say, the best of the confluency and association between those three stars that will be now in the sky starting now today. Actually has been before, but we were actually waiting for Mercury to get out of retrograde, which is today, yay. So we can actually do the process of preparation, initiation, the archetypical journey, and
without any hindrance.
Exactly. And without misunderstanding, because everybody knows what Mercury does with our lives. Oh, boy. So, going back again for what is the, you know, we always talk about this, what is the archetypical journey behind Stella Code? And then, well, of course, we refer always as the journey of Hercules, which is our anti-hero.
And really, the zodiac itself is all tied in with Hercules.
Yes, Hercules is our anti-hero. I say that he's anti-hero because he's a semi-god, but he really is not much aware of his, I would say,
godhood. Just like us, he is divine. He has the spark of divinity in him, but he lives, a lot of
superpowers. But you know,
he lives as a man. Well, he does have the superpowers.
But he lives committing mistakes, killing people by accident, you know, doing all the types of wrong choices. And so, in order to redeem himself, he is invited, you know, by force, of course, to develop or to realize 12 works. Which are like almost impossible works.
They're Herculean.
Yeah, Herculean.
The 12 labors of Hercules were basically set up. You know, he was put in the charge of a king, designed to fail, because these represented his way of recognizing and embracing and fulfilling his inner divinity. And at the end of the labors of Hercules, at the end of the labors of light, as he has completed this process of ascension, which is the archetypical journey behind the labors, you know, he becomes a god.
Well,
and ascends.
So the archetypical journey of Hercules at this time is the one that we mentioned, is the when he goes to... And he's requested by the king that gave him the 12 works to go and meet with the queen of the Amazons. Now, for those that know or don't know, the Amazons are really an interesting myth, because it's known to be a tribe of women, well, matriarchal, you know, tribe, meaning that the line of the family is determined by the mother's side, not the father's side. But they were known to be warriors, and it thought you know, it was told that they removed one of their breasts so they could have the arch in a better, you know, to manipulate the arch better, and they supposedly killed all the males' children and just kept the females. But so you have this reality, which is, I would say, an exaggeration of what is the divine feminine. you know, and it's distorted by a with a purpose.
It was distorted by a male perspective with the Greeks that put them in the myths, who basically were very much threatened by a female-oriented and a female-dominant society.
Exactly. So what we have is Hercules is invited again by force to go and get the
girdle
of the queen of the Amazons. When he gets there, he puts his he doesn't go there alone. So he brings his posse, and there they go, and Hippolyta,
but the girdle, of course, had mystical properties.
Yes, exactly, and because it's well known that it was given to Hippolyta by, I don't know if you guys pronounce this differently, but it was given to Hippolyta by the god Ares or Mars for some people. So he goes there and tells her, well, I need your girdle, and she said, okay, here it is. And it was kind of exotic because he was there. He went there with the mindset that he would go there, destroy everything, and get it.
He would have to go and conquer and take it by force. But the queen understood that not always to rule is not always by force. Sometimes the way to control events is by you know, submitting yourself to them.
Submitting is really poor choices of water.
Okay.
Words. It's more being, you know, having the, like the Chinese say, have a saying, having the tenderness of the water that instead of hitting a rock, it goes around it. So she said, well, you need this, here it is. But, of course, you know, it couldn't be that easy. So you have the famous, popular and international wife of Zeus, which was Hera, which was a very hateful person, and she
didn't really like Hercules that much.
No, she didn't. So what she did was, if the legend says that she hit, you know, she let's say she
disguised herself
as one of the Amazons and went to them and said, "Look, Hercules is here and is kidnapping our queen." So they got all mad, and they start charging towards Hercules' boat, which Hippolyta was right there, and waging war. Hercules, of course, has a very, very, I would say, broad and understanding man. He thought that, he looked at the Amazons, and he thought that the queen
was tricking him.
So what he did, he took her griddle, he gave her a kiss, and kill her.
According to one of the legends.
Yes, according to one of the legends. And she ran away with her griddle. So what is the moral of this story? The moral of the story you find...
besides not giving your girdle to lion skin wearing ruffians?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So, yeah, well, the moral of the story is what comes after that, and most of the resources, mythological resources, don't give that. With the girdle, he is able to save other people's lives, including another woman. Actually, a person that he didn't know, he actually saved this person by accident and never got recognized. So on the languages of God, he kind of repaired for the damage that he did on taking from the divine feminine that was, you know, a representation of the woman warrior when was given to him
freely.
He had it, you know, because it was part of his ruthless nature to take by force, independently of what was already given to him. But he repented in other sources of the myth, in another moment, using the power of the girdle to save a woman. But what we want to say right now is, why is this myth? Because there is a distortion, an energetic basic distortion that happened in some point on this planet, and I dare to risk saying, that, but this is my own theory, that happened somewhat around the time of Atlantis, where the divine feminine got completely distorted and submitted to another destructive power. But, you know, if you're going to look in this way, was not only the divine feminine that was distorted, but also the divine masculine. Because what we have right now on the society is not really the generosity of a spirit, which is one of the qualifications and the virtues of the divine masculine, you know. So, and it's important why this code, stellar code speaker, is important for this journey as we establish and we integrate different parts of ourselves in order to pick herself up and go back through ascension steps. It's important because only through the rebalance of the divine masculine, the divine feminine, is that we can permanently anchor the Christ consciousness. And everybody knows that that's our way, the Christ consciousness, that not necessarily has anything exclusively to do with Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus being one of the representatives of this consciousness on earth for a period of time, but other masters also represented and carried the Christ consciousness, the exemplification and the teachings of the Christ consciousness in diverse moments of mankind. So, you know, just giving a big, you know, a big scoop. The stellar code speaker is absolutely a big step to the rebalance of the masculine side of, you know, of the energies of the cosmos and itself, the masculine, the feminine part, because only through bringing down the mother, father, God energy is that you can give birth in yourself of the, you know, to the Christ consciousness.
And this is one of the, coming from the divine masculine in the constellation Boots, which is Arcturus, to the divine feminine in the constellation Virgo, which is Spica, through that lens with Regulus, you know, the mother, father, you know, son. It's that same Trinity again, that we're able to develop and anchor the Christ consciousness within us, which is ultimately what we are here to do.
Exactly. And then, you know, again, we can discuss this in the question, asking questions section, but there's one interesting thing. There are many legends that circulate and that were imposed or imputed to the constellation of Virgo, and one of them is that from the constellation of Virgo, it would be seen the day that the old prophet said that from the constellation of Virgo, or from Virgo, it will come to materialization the, you know, the hope of all nations, or the coming of the Messiah. It was prophesied not only in the Old Testament, but in other ancient texts, including the you know, Egyptian texts. So, you know, for instance, they say that, and I think it's Haggai, one of the judges in the Bible, that he practically says from Virgo, from a virgin, will come the will and the hope of all nations. And from that star, and he mentions the star, you know, which we identified in another part of the Bible as the star of Bethlehem, which is the star of hope. But, you know, it, again, this conjunction and this expectation that we're seeing in the star as the hope of the rebalancing, the coming back of the Christ consciousness. The Messiah was not only for the Jews. The Messiah was to come
for
humanity and rebalance, was out of balance, and bring back the harmonic frequencies of the Christ consciousness, which is, it could be perceived, it was exactly how it should be since the beginning. It's almost like a protective grid around Earth, and a lot of light workers work on the grid, but basically, to go there, you have to have those energies base balance inside of you. Otherwise, you can go there, but it won't be that much effective. And that's one of the reasons the Stellar Code course is one that can give you not only the techniques to go in places, but it gives you the guidelines of what to do. It's not all of us have the fully awakened memories, or none all of us are, experienced on that. You know, we came from different parts of this universe, and we went to different experiences and schools of wisdom and knowledge. So not everybody has experience, but now as we unite as one humanity towards the ascension and the good of all and the restoration of the Christ consciousness, you know, we kind of have to be like a jack of all trades. But anyhow, this is what I truly believe that basically is what we, you know, what this specific Stellar Code is all about.
And this is what we're doing. We're hoping you will participate with the Stellar Code. We will be starting shortly a guided meditation for you all. The attunement and initiation itself is separate from what we're doing this evening. They're all done individual. What we do is we schedule the individual, and we do that attunement pretty much one-on-one, even though they may be on the other side of the world, and we're here in Virginia. We do connect, and we do these attunements individually. So what I would what we'll do at this point is we'll go ahead and step through and do our guided meditation this evening, and then I'll open up the telephone line so that anybody who has questions about what we're doing with Spica and this, or the Stellar Codes in general, can be asked, and we can discuss. So what I would like everybody to do right now is to make sure they're comfortable, because this will take a few minutes. We're going to be doing a meditation to open ourselves up to our different aspects of ourselves, or different aspects of self. Okay, there's two keys to this meditation. The first is that everybody needs to set their intent to connect with all aspects of self, because you know that through your intent you can and will connect with all aspects of yourself. And this intention helps you focus your energy. The other thing I want to make sure everybody does is, as we walk through the different levels, is to feel that connection, that with the next level of consciousness out from you. And we'll work upwards or outwards depending on how you're more comfortable visualizing it. Some people see this as you know, stacked spheres. So as you go out, you go through another sphere. Other people like to see, think of it as a tree where they're working up linearly to the higher consciousnesses above. But if you don't, you know, feel or viscerally feel that connection, visualize it. And as you do this and you practice this more often, and this particular meditation will be part of the Stellar Code guidebooks. As you go through this and practice it, you will feel that connection more and more. All right. So what I want everyone to do is sit quiet and get comfortable. And what we're going to do is we're going to start, you know, breathe deeply a few times. And then what we will do is we're going to go into the 4x4 breathing, which is what we recommend for basic meditation. And the 4x4 breathing is where you breathe in for 4 beats. You hold for 4 beats. You exhale for 4 beats. And you hold for 4 beats. And what we will be doing is we'll be working through this cycle. Slowly breathing in, holding, breathing out, holding. And we'll allow ourselves to sink deeper into ourselves and find our center. And from that center, we'll start working outward. So breathe in, breathe out. Now as you're breathing, I want you to visualize that you're breathing in light through your heart chakra. Breathe in the light and keep it in yourself as you breathe out, so that with each breath we're bringing in more light, and this light will start to expand radially out from your heart chakra, a sphere that's growing in all directions. We breathe in the light, and then we breathe out, and then we allow that light to expand and to encompass our throat chakra and our solar plexus chakra, and we breathe out. We breathe in the light, and that light expands to encompass our third eye and our sexual chakra, our sacral chakra. And then we breathe out. We breathe in light, and we allow the light to expand to encompass our crown chakra and our base chakra. So as you breathe, breathe in the light and keep it within yourself as this expanding sphere of light continues to grow outwards. By now your sphere of light is from your crown chakra down to your base chakra. Take a moment to totally embrace your physical body. Feel the connection with your physical body. Visualize your whole body, including all the organs in your body, bathed in the white light of source that you have been breathing in more and more with each breath. Continue to breathe in light. Allow the light to expand to encompass your etheric body, which interpenetrates your physical body and extends outside of your physical body like a second skin. Take a moment to totally embrace your etheric body. Feel that connection with your etheric body. Continue to breathe in the light. Allow the light to expand out to your emotional body. The emotional body interpenetrates your physical body and your etheric body and extends outside of your etheric body approximately 6 inches. Take a moment to totally embrace your emotional body. Feel the connection with your emotional body. Continue to breathe in light with every breath. Allow the light to expand out to your mental body. Your mental body interpenetrates your physical body and your etheric body and your emotional body and extends outside of your emotional body. Take a moment to totally embrace your mental body. Feel the connection with your mental body. Continue to breathe in light. Allow the light to expand out to your spiritual body. Your spiritual body, which interpenetrates your physical body, your etheric body, your emotional body, your mental body, and extends outside of your mental body. Take a moment to totally embrace your spiritual body. Feel that connection to your spiritual body. Continue to breathe in light. Allow that light to expand. feel all the fields around your body merge into a single unified field. With your intent, connect your lower self together. These bodies of yours, they're all part of your lower self. Make that lower self feel whole. Take a moment to totally embrace your lower self and give it your unconditional love and understanding. Feel the total connection with your lower self. You're now integrated as your lower self. Continue to breathe in light. Now lovingly command your lower self to surrender to your higher self, your soul, and to express fully under the direct supervision of your soul with this new expanded awareness of self. Continue to breathe in light. Allow the light to expand. With your intent, connect up to your higher self, your soul. Take a moment to totally embrace your soul and feel the unconditional love from your soul. Feel the connection to your soul. You are one. Continue to breathe in light. Allow the light to expand. With your intent, connect from your higher self outward to your monad, your I Am presence. Take a moment to totally embrace your monad and feel the unconditional love from your monad down through your higher self to your lower self. Feel the connection. Continue to breathe in light. Allow the light to expand. With your intent, connect up from your monad, your I Am presence, up to the oversoul level of your being. Take a moment to totally embrace the oversoul and feel the unconditional love from it. Feel the connection. Ask your oversoul level to facilitate full reconnection with it and to assist you to release all blockages and to rejuvenate all your bodies. Continue to breathe in light. Allow the light to expand. With your intent, connect up to the universal consciousness level of your being. Take a moment to totally embrace your universal consciousness and feel in return the unconditional love flowing down through the oversoul, through your I Am presence, through your higher self and into your lower self. Feel the connection. Ask your universal consciousness level to help you come into unity consciousness. Continue to breathe in light. Allow this light to expand. With your intent, connect upwards to the cosmic I Am presence level of your being. Take a moment to totally embrace your cosmic I Am presence. You're part of the Godhead. And feel the unconditional love coming down from the Godhead, the cosmic I Am presence, down through the universal consciousness, down through the oversoul, down through the monad, down through your soul, your higher self, and into your lower self. Feel that love. Know that this is your true identity as differentiated source. Think for a moment. Realize how expanded you feel and sense your power. Take a moment to commune with the cosmic I Am presence and bring up any of your personal concerns or desires. Continue to breathe in light. Allow that light to expand. With your intent, connect up to the undifferentiated source, the all that is. Take a moment to totally embrace all that is in spirit and nature, and feel the incredible unconditional love from all that is down through the layers, down through the cosmic I Am presence, down through your unity, universal consciousness, down through your oversoul, down through your monad and your higher self, down to your lower self. Feel the love. And more importantly, feel the connection and the oneness with everything that exists throughout creation. You are one with all that is. Ask your spirit, ask your soul to allow you to express this wholeness, this connectivity in all that you do as you move through life on your path. Continue to breathe in the light, but now slowly come back down to yourself from all that is, from the Godhead, from the universal consciousness, from the oversoul, from your monad, from your soul, into your lower body, and into yourself. Allow your consciousness to awake. Slowly come back into yourself, into your center. Open your eyes. Breathe deeply. Stretch.
And when you're ready, we can start the questions and answers session.
All right. Thank you all for participating in that meditation with us. We're taking just a moment to come back to ourselves as well. It's an interesting experience to guide a meditation while at the same time participate in the meditation. And forgive me for any stumbling or errors that I may have made as I went through it. It's hard to be in two places at once, as they say. All right, I am going to unmute the conference in just a second, and then we will start the question and answer session. All right, what I will be doing to make this easier for all is you will be still muted, but you'll be able to hit *6 and unmute yourself, and this will cut down on the background noise. Or at least we'll try this. If not, I'll just put it into conversation mode. All right, let me... Okay, and everyone...